Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, we turn to developments in Afghanistan, where the government now say that more than 800 people have been killed and around 2,800 injured in an earthquake that struck the east of the country. Now, this magnitude 6 quake hit the rugged northeastern province of Kunar near the Pakistan border at roughly midnight on Sunday, destroying several villages. And I'm joined from Kabul by Shahzad Jamil, who's Concerns Country Director for Afghanistan. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us, Shahzad. I mean, what do you know at this stage about what has happened?
Thank you very much. Well, I have just came from a coordination meeting organized by the Disaster Management Ministry of Afghanistan, where we have been briefed on the situation. So far, all the information that are coming are very preliminary and fresh. So it requires triangulation. But what we know is the three eastern provinces of Afghanistan with bordering with Pakistan, which is Kunar, Nangarhar, and Laghman, has been badly hit. Out of these three, Kunar is the province which is extremely hit, and where the total number of people dead is more than 800 and more than 2,000 been injured. Now, these numbers are changing on an hourly basis, knowing that these are extremely remote and difficult to reach areas in normal circumstances, mountainous areas with very, very bad road condition in general, and infrastructures doesn't exist. With the earthquake, I think the situation has even got worse, and access to some of the villages is no more possible. A lot of airlifting organized by UN and the government resources has been organized. Some NGOs which are also running airlifting services, helicopter services, are also trying to support those services. But since this morning, more details are coming, and with all that initial information, we have also been informed that the initial needs that we have is cooked food, water, medical supplies, tents, blankets, kitchen sets, hygiene and clothes are some of the very, very urgent needs that we need to deliver. Concern Worldwide does not operate specifically in these three provinces. We are in the northeast, but we do have emergency supplies, prepositions, including tents and other non-food items. So we are waiting and trying to confirm when we can intervene. The difficult part in these chaotic situation is also that we need to really know exactly when we need to intervene, because all the different actors and stakeholders at this point of time are focusing, and we do not want to create any chaotic situation by delivering the supplies while it might not be needed, or it might be needed in a different place. So that's the details that we're trying to understand.
Okay.
Sorry,
Shahzad, to cut across you there. I know there's a slight delay on the line, but Concerns efforts and other NGO efforts will be coordinated through the UN, is it? Is that how this will work?
Yes. So there are two. UN is leading. IOM, which is International Organization of Migration, has deployed already 20 teams for assessment in those areas. And we are also in OCHA, which has the core mandate for this coordination, UN OCHA's agency, which will also organize this coordination and take lead on it. So as I said, initially, it would be a little bit chaotic. However, I think with the passing of time, this coordination mechanism will also become more smooth and mainstreamed, also joining forces with the government and the authorities, coordinating and information coming from that sources as well. So that coordination will be ideally mainly led by UN OCHA in the coming days.
Okay. Okay, Shahzad, we'll let you go, but thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us from Kabul this morning. Shahzad Jamil, who's Concerns Country Director for Afghanistan. Dr. Paddy Smith is with us too, Technical Officer with the Irish National Seismic Network at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. Dr. Smith, you're very welcome to the programme. This region that Shahzad was describing to us there, very remote, very difficult to access, but also very prone to earthquakes, isn't it?
Yes, good morning, Clara, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, it is. It is a very seismically active area. Sort of broad picture, really, is that this earthquake was caused pretty much by the motion of the whole of the Indian subcontinent, which is actually a separate plate that's been, over the last few million years, has been pushing northwards, crashing into Eurasia and producing the Himalayan mountain chain. So that has a very large sort of system of faults that run from sort of east-west, from all the way in China, Tibet to the east, across to this western end of the Himalayas in the Hindu Kush region in the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. So seismicity in this area is not unusual. And in fact, up in this corner, it's a little bit more complex. There's possibly part of the Indian plate being pushed down, subducted, as we call it, below Eurasia. And often it seems that I've seen earthquakes there generated down to maybe hundreds of kilometers. So actually having something sort of this shallow in this area is perhaps a little less common.
Okay, but is it not the case that when an earthquake is shallow, it causes more damage?
Yes, that's generally the case. So obviously a deeper earthquake means that the seismic waves that are produced when you have the rupture and the fault have more distance to travel through the earth. And so more distance and time for the energy basically to spread out and being attenuated and absorbed as these seismic waves travel through the earth. So deeper events, yes, tend to be less damaging. And then conversely, earthquakes that occur very close to the surface can be quite damaging. So the important thing to kind of get across really is that it's not necessarily the magnitude. So that's really the sort of physical size or amount of energy of the earthquake doesn't always correspond to the most impact or intensity, the shaking. So as we've seen in this case, sort of slightly smaller magnitude, a magnitude 6, but very close to the surface and in populated areas can really cause a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. Would you expect then, these numbers that are coming out, 800, which has risen significantly from when we got first reports this morning, 800 dead, over 2,000 injured. Would you expect those numbers to change over the course of the day?
Yes, I would guess so. I mean, as we were just hearing from your previous caller and your previous guest, brother, it was obviously this has occurred in quite a remote mountainous area that it seems, access is difficult previously, but then obviously possibly the earthquake may have triggered landslides, for example, on some of these very steep slopes and kind of cut off access even further. So it may be some time before, yes, the full picture is able to emerge from this event.
I mean, there was an earthquake, wasn't there, back in 2003, just 2 years ago in Afghanistan, which was 6.3 as well. That was the magnitude of it. And that was devastating for the area. Now, I don't think we ever managed to get a clear picture of the number who died in that one. The Taliban said it was 4,000. The UN estimated 1,500. But I suppose it gives us an indication of what we might expect here.
Yes, I mean, I think that event, the 2023 event you mentioned, was actually in Herat province, which is on the other side of the country. But there was in this Hindu Kush region in 2015, I believe, there was a magnitude 7.5 earthquake. So this actually occurred quite a bit deeper than this one. That was around sort of 200 kilometers deep. But because it was larger magnitude 7.5, it still caused quite a damage and several hundred fatalities over a bit of a broader area. So I would say that, this is not totally atypical for the area, but yeah, it's obviously very, very devastating for this region.
Okay, Paddy, thank you for joining us and for explaining that to us. Dr. Paddy Smith there, who's Technical Officer with the Irish National Seismic Network.